You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
There was an idea. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
This is the Marvel Tribe, brought to you by Walt's Apartment Podcast and the Diz Insider.
Avengers!
Assemble.
So, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Marvel Tribe. We are a group of excited and passionate individuals who have come together to share our love for all things Marvel. We are brought to you by Walt's Apartment Podcast and thedizinsider.com. Please check those out. I am so honored to be joined by this amazing group of Marvel nerds. From the big screen to the small print, feel the pulse in your chest so you know you're alive. One team, one love. It's the Marvel Tribe. All right.
Let's go.
Not bad. Let's do this. How you been this week, Lewis?
I've been good. I mean, I don't know what my name is today. I don't know if you caught wind on the podcast. So I had a bunch of family from Washington chime in on the chat room.
Yeah.
My mom's like, happy birthday, Louie. My aunt's all, happy birthday, Lou. My grandma's like, so Sean's like, what is your name? I was like, well, my real name's Louis. Everybody calls me Louie. But, and then our guest host, Debbie, with Designer Park Co., she hopped on, and she's all, L Dog. And then there was L Money. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know what my name is anymore.
Man. Well, I'm going to have to come up with a nickname. I might call you LL Cool Marvel or something. It's a work in progress.
Hey, it's all cool, man. Mama said never knock you down. Or I think I probably murdered that verse.
So tonight's episode, we got so as you guys know, we are a little bit short because you know our two lovely, amazing Marvel ladies are out. We have one saving the lives, literally, you know, has people's, you know, lives in her hand doing her nursing stuff. Then the other one is sick. Because she's a teacher, and those little germy kids do what they do best, which is, you know, that's all I'll say to that. But, yeah, no, we got awesome lineup and stuff, and we got a kind of a game towards the end, just to kind of give you a sneak peek. It's we're going to list our top five non-Marvel movies that would be way better with a Marvel character replacing someone or adding to something to the movie and stuff. So I don't know about you, but I got more than five that's going to be amazing.
I didn't get five.
Okay.
I'm going to be very honest. I didn't get a list together. I was like, you know what? This seems like it's going to be fun on the randomness. Like,
What
can I just think off the top and how? So I got a few already in spot. So I'm ready.
All right. Right on. So, first up, I mean, hey, Lewis, did you see the Groot episodes on Disney Plus there?
I did. I have seen all six or five, I think there is.
Yeah, I believe there's five. So you wanna break them? Do we want to break them down episode by episode and stuff? Because I have the list here.
It can't take that long.
No, they're short. For those who haven't seen it, and also I'm going to let you guys know, because they just came out, this is a spoiler alert. So if you're listening to us on the podcast, you might want to fast forward. I don't even know till when, but just fast forward until you stop hearing Groot. But you should have Disney Plus, so watch it. They're really short. You can watch them all under a half an hour of your time and stuff. The first one we got up here was Groot's First Steps. So this is somewhere between the time of the after the first Guardian with the end credit group, baby Groots and his little flower pot and stuff, and in between when teenager Groot, which was the next iteration of the Guardians and stuff. So
yeah, I think we needed Drax in that episode. We really did. We needed him.
Yes. Oh, I agree. So the baby, yeah. So Baby Groot, you know, this says in the synopsis here, Baby Groot is finally ready to try to take his first steps out of his pot, only to learn you have to walk before you can run. I'm not sure who writes these summaries and stuff, but that's kind of basically what that is. He was having robots on the ship kind of take care of him and water him and stuff like that. And I can't remember what actually triggered this, but he got replaced by another houseplant. Like, yeah. They kind of discarded him off to the side or something. Or did he fall?
So what happened in that episode, like, he you see him go, like, so when Drax and him are, like, he's fucking with Drax. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, see? It's fine. Yeah,
but so maybe. When he's messing with Drax, you see him thin. Then they kind of, like, fast forward to what we see him without legs, and then his pot cracked. Yeah. So I'm curious if that's why they moved him. It was a bit odd to see them move him because at what? So I'm assuming at this point they never knew Groot was alive. He's just a plant.
Yeah.
So and then he gets replaced by like a space bonsai tree, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the robots are dumb. They only serve one function, is to do whatever duties are programmed. So it looks like these are caretaker. Plant life robots and stuff. And so when the vase cracked, they just like, oh, let's go ahead and replace this real quick. No one will know, except for Groot knew. it was a fun episode and stuff. He actually ended up breaking his pot more and breaking the bonsai tree and discovered he had legs himself. He didn't know it. And he decided to test those bad boys out and stuff. So.
Yeah, and then he became the caretaker of the bonsai tree. Like, the robots had, nah, I got this now.
So that was, yeah, and it was a few minutes and stuff. I'm sure I don't know if we left anything. I mean, I think we kind of more than covered that. And stuff.
I mean, we left the cheese puffs out. That's about it.
Yeah. So, and after we can talk about which one was our favorite. This next episode is called The Little Guy, as where Groot discovers a miniature civilization that, you know, believes that he's an enormous tree toddler, and he's a, they're going to war with him, and then they discover when he toots that he's a sort of a god that's there to kind of nourish them and stuff. It was interesting. I kind of thought they would go this route when we talked about it, like with ants or something like that, like him just messing around in the dirt or something in between where the guardians are kind of parked or on break or are doing something like that. And it kind of jives with that scenario and stuff. So what about you? What do you think?
So me and a buddy of mine binge watched it the whole 28 minutes or something like that. We pulled an all nighter, and it was funny because we were watching it, and he's like, is it just me or do I get like Gulliver Travel vibes? And I was like, so do I. And it was kind of cool. Like, they just took Gulliver's Travels and just made a small little short film with Groot. I enjoyed it. The little creatures were cool. I guess the ending was a bit dark, but
I think the ending was in keeping with. So, and this is the big difference between Gulliver's Travel. If Gulliver's Travel was a toddler, that movie would have been really hard to watch because toddlers do some very, they're miniature serial killers. You know, if you're smaller than them, you're fair game to toddlers, basically. So and then Groot, he kind of stuck, to the true root of being a toddler and stuff, was curious about what these things were until they started attacking him. And, he started kind of fighting back until he couldn't. And he was curled up into a ball like he's being overwhelmed. And then he farted out a leaf. And that leaf was these little mini creatures' sustenance. And Groot saw that and he's like, oh. Let me go bring you some more leaves and stuff. And he went and found a whole bunch of leaves, ran over, just like a toddler would, making a mess of everything, and accidentally squished the entire civilization and stuff. Now, that's not the most toddlerish thing that one can do. Because I've had toddler. This reminded me of my son and what he would have done. So after he did the accident and squished these little aliens, he dropped the leaves and walked off like this didn't happen. It just, outside, out of mind. I'm moving on to the next thing.
Yeah. He slid the rock back over. Like, yeah, they were never there.
Nope. It didn't exist. So there's something cool for a second, but yeah, I might get in trouble for this. I'm gonna go ahead and undo what I can do and stuff. And then you know, knowing it's a Disney, Marvel thing, they had to show one of them pop back up. So giving the impression that maybe they weren't just squished, they're just buried in the dirt and stuff. Wow. But we know he massacred them. That's just. Oh.
Well, I mean, did you see that stick go? When he threw the stick in there, it came flying at them.
Absolutely. All right. So the next one, and they released all the little mini episodes and stuff here. So the next one's called.
Quick note on that. What I felt weird about when they released it, they didn't release it. Like when we saw WandaVision, you click WandaVision, you have episodes. You have Loki. You have episodes.
Yes.
This was weird. It was like you had to go to like suggest it.
Yep. 100%. In fact, I agree. Actually, let's take a minute and talk about that. I agree with you 100%. When I first went on to Disney Plus and I saw it, I didn't know what order I was supposed to watch things because it was not marked episode 1, 2, 3. They were just their own individual little mini episodes and stuff, and then you have them in your suggested, and they weren't even in the proper order, so to speak, because once you get it deep into a few of them, then you're not even sure which ones you watched. Like, did I watch Groot's first step? No, I think that I did watch that. Like, if the title wasn't on the nose, you weren't quite sure which one you are and stuff. So that was confusing.
And luckily, I'm stoked that I'm assuming I watched them in what they wanted to be chronological order. Yeah. Because obviously the season's finale to the short light, I don't know. Like, that was great. But I wish they would have done something like, I don't know, it's not Marvel, but it is Disney. Did you ever see Olaf Presents, where he like retold the stories?
Yes.
Well, if you go to his little link, it has like all the episodes individually, and then it has like Olaf's all of them in one package.
Yeah.
And I wish they did that with this one. And or just gave us one long little mini show of them back to back, almost like a throwback to the Mickey Mouse shorts.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Yep, I agree. I mean, even when they did the Forky ask a question, they at least put that in order and stuff too and stuff. So you click on that and then you got all the little mini episodes and stuff. Again, that's Pixar, Marvel do things low. I don't know who controls what that presentation looks like on Disney Plus. If it was Marvel or if that was a Disney Plus thing, but yeah, it was just a little awkward and it took some time. So some people could easily, I mean, I guarantee you at least several people went online to search and say how many actual episodes there are just to make sure they weren't missing any and stuff, because it really was confusing and stuff. So,
yeah.
All right. So our next episode we got was a Groot's Pursuit. This was where Groot was investigates a spooky noise that's been haunting the Quadrant, which is the Guardian's ship, which led to an intense dance off. Which again, Groot. So this made me actually love Groot and be scared of Groot all at the same time, because he really is attitude-y kind of. You understand Groot the teenager years a lot more because of this. So he's like, he's woken up by a strange noise and stuff, and there's this like blob transforming kind of thing that escaped and just kind of running around the ship. I thought it was gonna be kind of a jump scare we're gonna get. I'm like, ooh, okay, we're going a little dark here, but it wasn't that at all. But it turns out to be this blob that kind of transformed himself into another version of a mirror Groot. And they kind of had this kind of interesting kind of dance off and stuff. And Groot, I'm going to tell you now, Groot lost the dance off. The blob turned into a bigger version of himself and was teaching Groot a thing or two. And that's where Groot was like, yeah, I'm done with you. And hit the ejecto button like in Fast and the Furious and shot him out into space. So that was some pettiness on Groot. He can't take a loss. So I don't know what was your take on that, but yeah.
So as soon as they started dancing, it reminded me of like so many different movies. It reminded me of like Zoolander.
Yeah.
But then it reminded me of a throwback to the first Guardians Star-Lord's like, it's a dance-off, bro. And he's sitting there dancing. I'm like, okay, I'll give you that. Yes. But I hope if we've learned anything from the What If series, the animated stuff can make itself way it's in the film. I hope that we get that weird creature back for something. Because he kind of had me laughing where he's like, no, that's not how you do it. It's step, step, this. I was like, yes.
I know. I loved it. I mean, even if we got like a frozen version of it, just hits their spaceship and they wipe it off with the wind washer blades like Thor kind of did and stuff. So
yeah, have it hit the windshield and have Groot just mad dog it, and then he hits the windshield wiper. Like, yeah, we don't need it.
He's like, who was that? He's like, nah, I am Groot.
I am Groot.
What do you mean? Don't worry about it. It's like, I am Groot. Yes. That would be great. That would have been great.
So Marvel, take that into consideration.
100%. Absolutely. We know Marvel's listening and stuff. More so to take us down versus listening to our advice. Anyway, so the next one is Groot takes a bath. So the summary is everybody needs some alone time to relax and wash up, but things goes quite different when you're a Flora Consilium. Blah, 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 blah. When you're a toddler, his attempt at using bath toys, candles, and bath bombs ultimately leads to a leafy mess of epic proportion. And then after his leaves grow into a bushy-like proportions, Groot decides to take his haircut into his own hands and get a little inventive with his new hairdos. So this one was interesting. I had more questions than what got answered and stuff because of how quickly, I mean, does his leaves grow like it's a beard? And why is a toddler getting a beard at this point in time? But I had some questions and stuff that were just ridiculous for myself and stuff. I don't know about you.
This one, I thought it was, so leading up to this episode, and again, Marvel, we're halfway through the season and slips up on us. But this one, I felt there was a lot of missed opportunities for some, like, one-liners, even though Groot is only a one-liner. But, like, when he was, like, cutting his leaves, it would have been cool for him to, like, mimic Thor, Captain America, Iron Man. Like, those are his idols. Like, or not, I guess, maybe not because he hasn't seen them. Or, like, mimic Ronin or mimic Star-Lord. It would have been cool. Kind of like a youngster getting dressed up to go to work like Dad. It would have been cool like that. I thought it was a fun episode. The last little 2 seconds of the show was probably the best part. Mm-hmm. But overall, I thought it was cool using the bug to like make the mud spiritual looking. Yeah. I thought the effects were cool. But yeah, that one, it caught me going like, huh? What happened? But overall, that end scene, that little like fox creature.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, I don't want to say skins him because he didn't do that, but he ripped off his fur and boom, got him.
Again, baby Groot's a little bastard. I mean, this is. I'm liking this little. It gives me a Problem Child, the movie kind of vibes and stuff. Like he really is. He's not a sweet little cuddly like, oh, poor baby. No, he's a little terror. And he shows it through his actions and stuff, including, and don't get me wrong, some of these people absolutely deserve the pettiness that Groot gave them and stuff. So I'm not saying he's just out there being evil and stuff to things. Like the little monster bird looking thing was laughing at Groot and stuff. So, you know, Groot has shown what's what, and he got the upper hand and took his tail or fur or whatever that was and wrapped around like a boa. So That was interesting. We got our last one we got here is Magnum Opus. So Groot sets out to paint a family portrait of himself and the Guardians, only to discover just how messy the artistic process can be. And I am Groot. Okay, and then it just says has a special cameo from another one of the Guardians and stuff. So you want to go first and talk about this episode?
Yeah. So this one right here, I liked it because it brought in the Guardians. I enjoyed that. It seemed it seemed a bit out of place. I would have much rather, besides the cameo, and I'm going to get to that in a second, but the childlike actions, him painting family portraits of that, I would have liked to see that, like, second episode. Because then you kind of see him progress from being innocent and growing legs to being, yeah, like you said, he's kind of, he's a badass. Like, let's go. But I see why they saved it for last, because obviously Rocket shows up. And I couldn't tell if the graphics were better or worse, but Rocket just had this new, like, swagger to him. Mm-hmm. But when he busted out the glasses, it kind of hurt my soul. I was like, ah, oh, he's getting old. Like, no, not Rocket, not yet. Like, but like, I was, and then I was even more pleased when they announced, like, it was Bradley Cooper voicing Rocket. At yes. first, I was like, I was listening, like, is that different or is that, but no, it was. And I'm curious though, because it does seem a little different. I'm curious if it was Bradley Cooper saying those lines or if they chopped up some of his lines of the movies and dubbed them
and
all
piece it together.
Yeah.
They've known to do. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed to be him, but it seemed to be off a little bit. But overall, that episode was a real good one. You got to see the Guardians. I wish we saw, dude, when he takes Star-Lord's boot to, like, cook it, and yeah. then he chops Rocket's hair and Drax's soap. I was like,
yeah.
yes. But I wish we just saw, like, Drax's hand, like, looking for the soap, or maybe Star-Lord, like, waking up and looking for a boot. Not necessarily the actors themselves, yeah. but just hands so we can see it's them. Yeah. But overall, the season finale, so to say, was a good one.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to say, I thought there was going to be a very inappropriate drop the soap joke that we didn't get, which I'm glad. I'm not saying, but it was, you had to think that was a perfect setup and stuff. When the soap hit the floor, Jax is in the shower. I was like, wait a minute. Y'all not about to do what I think. And they didn't. He skates off with a little sludgy yeah. soap and stuff like that. But it was about as risque of a joke as you can, as yeah. Disney can allow to happen and stuff. But I'm curious what the storyboard would have said, because I know yeah. some of those writers wrote an inappropriate joke at that moment.
Yeah. So I mean, for me, it was a great. I'm curious though, like with Drax being as all scarred as he is, does he use a loofah or does he just go straight bar to skin because it suds up automatically?
Yeah, actually. That would make sense but, and stuff.
Why yeah, I wanted to see more cameos, though. I really did. Some type of cameos, because it just seemed a little bit out of place. There is one thing I hope Disney makes a toy of, though. Mm. We're going to get probably a gang of Baby Groots, but there is that, I forgot what they're called traditionally, but there's that alien hide, like the smaller dolls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the one where he's looking for the water creature. Dude, that little thing, the alien, like, secret doll thing, I was like, that's a cool idea. Like, I hope they sell that, because I'd buy one.
Heck yeah. Absolutely, I would.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see too many marketable, like, pieces in here besides, obviously, those the other creatures, but that little thing was pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right. So, let's move on to the next topic. So, I actually did not actually get a chance to fully vet what this is for the Iron Man Test Kitchen. So they have, it's the Marvel Missions, make Iron Man's favorite torta. And it's called a Tonkatsu torta. I did not get the ingredients. I did not get to look it up. But apparently it's you know, this is what Tony Stark loves. This is one of his favorite renditions of a torta and stuff. And there's a you know, a book with the ingredients and instructions to show you how you can do it. And I believe this is going to be at the test kitchen as well at the Disneyland park. But other than that, that's just some news that they put out there and stuff. So Marvel's mission, the test kitchen's Tonkatsu, I think I'm saying that right, Tonkatsu torta. So I'm a fan of tortas. I like they're Mexican inspired sandwiches or Mexican sandwiches and stuff, and they're delicious. I actually ate my first one like a year ago, actually 2021, and I've been in love with them ever since. I was like, oh my god, this is a new food discovery unlocked for me. So
I'm definitely excited to see it in the parks, or even on the Disney Wish that has like the Marvel kitchen now.
Yeah,
I'm definitely excited to see it, because I feel like as much as shawarma plays a big part in the adventures, well, not a big part, but it's a key pun line. Mm-hmm. I don't think the shawarma carts get enough credit in the parks because you hear shawarma and you're like, oh, what is that? And you're kind of like, it's almost like a, I don't know the name. It's a gyro, whatever you call it. It's kind of like those where you're like, I don't know what it is. I don't want to try it unless someone actually just gives it to me.
Yeah.
So I think having those in the park might be a little bit cool, especially if they did those in the stands as well.
Yeah.
If you're looking on a business point, it could bring in a little bit more feedback. But I like all their dishes where they're like, they kind of feel like you're pulling something out of the films or out of the storyline. Mm-hmm. So you can get that, like, I'm eating what he eats.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree with that sentiment 100%. So we got, you know, next month, man, we got D23 coming up. And, dude, man, I know we got a lot from San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, way more than I thought. So here's my thought process before we kind of really get into the halls and what they kind of got, what they're announcing that they got. I think Marvel has a tremendous amount of info and content and stuff to give us that they had to break it up. And so the fact that we got so much at San Diego Comic-Con, meaning I think Phase 6 is really going to be highlighted here. Like there are some things that there was not actually much that we didn't really get at San Diego Comic Con that, you know, fed a lot of us Marvel nerds' soul. I mean, we got the Fantastic Four marquee and stuff. We got two Avenger films, which I don't know how they're going to do that in the same year, but that's what they slated and stuff. But and then there's a bunch of holes. There's some gaps and stuff in six. So and I think, you know, five may also have a gap or two. There, we, you know, even though it looked like it was a full lineup and stuff for that, they didn't also talk about the season two versions for a lot of shows. So we may get some trailers about that, you know, what's coming on Disney Plus and stuff, like, you know, like for real. We may get another Black Panther trailer, which I hope so. You know, this first one was amazing, even though it was marketed as a teaser trailer. That looked like a really amazing, like, full-on emotional award-winning trailer to me. But if we get more, I would love to see that. I mean, I would love to see actual Black Panther or whoever's going to be the Black Panther and stuff, so I can speculate a little bit more accurate versus seeing their bum and try to guess who's playing the character and stuff.
That's Wakanda's ass. Like,
yeah. That's Wakanda's ass right there.
For me, I feel here we go with the whole like logical thing. Like last time with splitting the event, I think we're gonna get a lot. I don't think we're gonna get as much as we're hoping. And the reason being is because Marvel and Star Wars are sharing the same stage in the same hall, I think at the same time. But that being said, I think you hit every. I'm gonna say we get. It's easy to name titles. You don't need to have cast come out because they're still not cast yet. So it's easy to name titles. I'm gonna say we get an official trailer for Black Panther because it comes out in November. We got our recent one. Was it beginning of August or like end of July? I think it was like the last week of July. We got Wakanda Forever, the teaser. Yep. So then you give us like 2 months to brew on that. September, they drop the official. It comes out in November. So October, you start doing all the TV plugs. Yep. I'm going to say we get an official trailer for Black Panther. I'm going to say we get the official trailer for Guardians. I'm going to say we get the official trailer for Quantumania. Those are my three trailer predictions that we're going to get. I do think we're going to get more announcements for Phase 6. I do believe that we're going to get either partial or the full cast for Fantastic Four. Yeah. But then also, too, I do think we're going to get for Phase 6, we're going to get plugs for Disney Plus TV shows.
Yeah.
Those are my predictions for it. I'm not 100% sold on it, but I feel confident enough. Those are the big things we were missing from Comic-Con that you can give us without having – I mean – we knew about Blade, 2 years ago, was it now?
Yeah.
So we knew about that. We knew about Fantastic Four. We knew about that. And we were hyped then. Now we're closer. But I feel like Fantastic Four, you really got to drive something in solid because if we end this year with just that it's coming in a date, I don't think that's enough. You gave us that 2 years ago.
Yep.
They got to land a punch with that, and I'm thinking we get a cast lineup, or they just blow the crowd's mind, and John Krasinski is the
Krasinski.
And then you leave it at that. I don't think so. I think if we're going to get the lineup, we're going to get all four.
I hope so. I hope so. So my, I love your trailer predictions. So I have my own and stuff too. So I definitely think we're gonna get a full, fuller trailer for Black Panther 2. I mean, it makes sense to drop that. That's what's going to air on TV and everything else because it's, you know, it's right around the corner. I think we're gonna get a sneak peek of Blade 2, trailer or something of that in pre production kind of something and stuff with that. What's that?
Have they announced who's playing Blade?
Yeah. Mahershala Ali.
Oh, okay. They announced that. I would expect that.
Yeah, Mahershala. I'm going to put some respect on his name. Mahershala Ali is playing Blade. And then I'm going to be honest. I think we're going to get a live introduction from Mr. Ryan Reynolds himself, Deadpool.
Ooh.
I bet this will be the time to announce another Deadpool movie and have Ryan Reynolds come out as Deadpool to disrupt the whole with Kevin Feige and give us the rating of what that, you know, the official rating of what Blade, because here's what I see. I mean, this is what I'm going to predict. They're going to talk about Blade, maybe bring out Mahershala Ali in the Blade getup, maybe, and talk about, we're going to make this rating. But it's not the only rated R Disney movie that, you know, that we're going to be bringing out. And then we see Mr. Reynolds come out, and that's just a fan fantasy there. But I think we're gonna get something about Deadpool as well. So, because the only one we didn't see on the marquee up there. So
I'm curious, do you think Disney, I can see that Comic-Con, mm-hmm. but do you think Disney has the push to sit there? So the way you announce it, we have this rated R movie, but we have one more. They show like the Deadpool logo pop up, but instead of Ryan Reynolds come out, Hugh Jackman walks out. Well, hold on. But instead of him being Wolverine, he's just there to introduce Ryan Reynolds that he's returning.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Like, it would be so much fun, but at the same time, I think some fans would be like, really? Like, they wouldn't see the dry humor in it. Like, guys, they're giving us what they give us in the movie. He's not in it. They just brought him to introduce Ryan Reynolds because we knew it'd be funny. But, or you have him come out and introduce the new person playing Wolverine, and yes. you say Wolverine making his introduction in Deadpool.
Yep.
So,
Oh my God, yes.
That'd be tight. But I think we're asking for a lot on that one.
We are.
That would be asking too much, and they need something for next year to back it again.
Yeah, and you have to fill the X-Men expectation because we got the Fantastic Four, which is was a Fox property that we got the rights back. We got a little bit of an intro from Professor X in the / Doctor Strange. We want a little bit more X-Men. We actually would love to see a rebooting of something or something. So I think we may get I'm hoping. I don't really think we're going to get anything, but I'm hoping we get something for
X-Men. I think we might get X-Men now that I think about it because I don't know if it's confirmed yet, but the gentleman that's playing – it was in Mandalorian, mm-hmm. potentially playing Professor X. So I think – you know what? If that is true – I would take back that we're getting Fantastic Four news.
Okay.
And more Marvel news.
All right. X-Men. Okay. So, and the guy who played, I know you're talking about, and is, God, I know his name, Giancarlo Esposito, who's an amazing actor. Dude gets his flowers and stuff. He's not the only Marvel guy Star Wars guy that came over to the Marvel side of things and stuff, because we got Moon Knight, which, you know, he was also in Star Wars as well too. And so, but yeah, you know,
and we got and not only that, to hush the comments, feedback, whatever comes in about you know, what we're good. Just remember, he came from Star Wars to come to Marvel. Mm-hmm. He is a African-American character. I don't know his full but he is a darker skin complexion character playing on what we know as a lighter skin. But if you want to question any of that, just think of Mace, Mother effing Windu, now playing Nick Fury.
Yo,
and silence everything. I mean, it's I'm so excited for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to see the versatility that actor brings to that character. Yep. Because it's going to change the game.
Absolutely. And that was a great – that's actually a great point about Sam Jackson playing Nick Fury, because I was there when the internet was just heating up with – I'm going to call them soy boy trolls or whatever, that I was just talking smack, like, Marvel, why would they do this? Nick Fury is not the, – and then now today, fast forward today, you can't look at Nick Fury without thinking Sam Jackson. And all those trolls, they're silent. They're quiet. And it's not just us who see it. Marvel's seen it. Every introduction of a character that they've did that may went against the quote unquote grain of the comic book heads and stuff doesn't last. So it may be a little bit of a trumped up fanfare, which is ridiculous at first, but it just to be comes it's cost of doing business, and we're gonna they're gonna move forward anyway. And because they know people are gonna still buy the tickets, who's not, you know, you're gonna go see Professor X, and you're going to see Dr. Doom, no matter who plays them and stuff, even if it's, you know, not in your idea. And people are going to constantly just go online, be a troll, because it's what gets, you know, the conversation going or gets them going or whatever they like to, you know, misery love company. And they're still going to pay the money to go see the Marvel thing. So
it is what it is. Say it louder. I hear that. Another last thing that I think about D23, mm-hmm. I'm horrible with names. Netflix's Punisher is coming back.
Yes. John Bar...
Berthlow or Berth...
Man, I'm just as bad as you with names. We need Sam and Brianna here. But, yeah, Bartenthal, something similar to that.
I see them announcing that he's returning as Punisher.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, there's three people I wanted to see come back from the Netflix series, and then they can recast the rest if they needed to. But I actually liked the guy who played Luke Cage. I loved the Punisher. That was perfect casting. And the guy and Daredevil. Daredevil was perfect casting. I mean, I was like, dude, this works for me.
I know he's dead. I do, and I understand that. Loki died 1.5 billion times. I like the villain in Punisher. Mm-hmm. Anvil, the guy that played I like that actor. Like
the American
I hope they bring him back, even though I'm pretty sure he died in the show.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe he went to the same island that Agent Coulson went to, got his brain refixed, and bring him back.
It came back. Yeah,
because he was such a good actor. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he was solid. And he could, especially now that we're going with this more with Miss Marvel, not Miss Marvel, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, we're going more with this like street level villainous and superheroes. He would be good, like coming into the court system. Like, well, if you want protection, we know a guy that has a private outfit, and he comes walking in just to cause some friction.
Absolutely, dude. I'm there for it. I'm absolutely that would. Yeah, dude, I can't wait. So I think we're gonna get some really big. I think we're gonna get some jaw droppers and stuff. They can't, you know, I mean, they have to bring their A game. They're going to, because it's a Disney D23, and it's all things Disney and stuff. And I think they're saving the best pieces of the news for this event. It wasn't, you know, even though we got some amazing stuff over at Comic Con, that was just, I'm gonna be honest, I think that was more of a, hey, DC, what y'all doing? Kind of thing, you know. Yeah. And they won that competition, because, you know, even and I'm gonna talk about DC for a quick second and stuff, because someone brought up to my attention that even The Rock was throwing shade at DC, and they got Black Adam coming out because he's like, I would love to battle Superman, whoever he's going to be and stuff. And I was like, oh snap, there you go, because, you know, Henry Cavill apparently is in talks with Marvel to do something. So, you know, tough luck, DC, if you know, we end up getting him and stuff, because you guys are, who know, restructuring or got your thumbs up your, you know what, and stuff. Quit trying to compete with Marvel. Be your own thing.
I will say, though, and I gotta, like, set the tone straight. All right. I'm excited to see Black Adam, even though it's DC.
I am too.
I'm saying that more so because the last 2 weeks on the podcast, mm-hmm. I have ripped the Dwayne the Rock the Johnson each week. Last week, I just burnt Maui. And yesterday, real quick, we talked about live action Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely not. I don't need Dwayne the Rock Johnson singing Lilo and Stitch songs for another year. And everyone's like, you hate The Rock. I don't hate The Rock. But you need to let him grow a little bit more, bring him back to something else. But, yeah, I'm excited for Black Adam. It looks very good. My son is confused because he watched the Shazam trailer.
Yeah.
And then Black Adam, he's like, wait, what happened? I was like, these are two different movies. Don't worry. He's like, but they're wearing the same sign. I was like, I get it. Give it some time. I was like, I have no knowledge in DC, so I have no idea if they're the same or if maybe they was cheaper in the comic times to do costumes the same. I don't know. But I'm excited to see that film.
Oh, heck yeah. So D23 is going to be exciting. It's in the second week of September, and we'll report here on the Marvel Tribe what we see, what we hear about and stuff. There are some live feeds for those who can't go. You're not going to get the big stuff on the live feed. You'll get it afterwards. But they got some live stuff that's open to the general public and stuff. So it should be fun. Can't wait for that to happen. But that'll be in September. And by that time, we would have She-Hulk already. And we get to talk about that, whether we like it or it's meh. No, and we'll tell you our honest opinion. You know, there's four of us here and sometimes some special guests, and we don't really hide things. If it's meant to us, we're going to tell you. That's just kind of how we roll. So with that said, I want to talk about Predator. So a lot of people don't realize that Predator is a Marvel product. They do their comic books. In fact, there's a new Predator comic book that is out now, kind of in conjunction with the Predator movie that's on another Disney-owned property on Hulu that was called Prey. Did you see this movie yet?
I have not. I didn't have much interest in it at first. Mm-hmm. Until more recently, now that there's stuff out about it,
yeah.
And it's definitely caught my interest. And the reason I didn't have interest to begin with was I was like, I love Predator. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. Don't do this to me. But I've heard the reviews on it. I've seen pieces of it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. all right, I can get into this one. So I have not started watching it yet. But my goal is this weekend to get deep into it.
Well, I'll give you a non-spoiler review and stuff. I'm a huge Predator fan. Huge. The first Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers and stuff. I mean, that was a bromance, male testosterone gif to us G.I. Joe young boy fans and stuff. And it said every cheesy one-liner and everything we thought our heroes and made half of us want to go join the military and be special forces. It was phenomenal and stuff. And for what it was in its time, and it's still, to me, one of the greatest action movies there is and stuff. With that said, and I'm saying this with knowing how many other Predator movies and stuff out there and stuff, this is it right there in the league with it. It's all I'm not going to say it's a tie, but it is almost as good as that first Predator movie. It actually was the Predator movie I've been waiting for, because the last one called The Predator, where it was like the little small town and stuff like that. That was just like, okay, we're about to do the Freddy Krueger, Jason kind of thing and just bury out the franchise and chase the dollars and stuff. But this one, I really think they're going to reboot and revitalize the Predator franchise and stuff, because it was watching the Comanche warriors do what they're doing stuff and showing, first of all, this movie, I'm not going to spoil anything. I lost a little bit more respect for the Predators and stuff. At first, I was like, yeah, man, the Predators, they're bad warriors. They're hunting and stuff like that. This movie kind of made me realize something that was there all along. It existed throughout all of the Predator franchise movies and stuff. The Predators are like those dentists that go to the African safari and hunt big game. They're technologically advanced. they're looking for the biggest game for trophies and stuff. And some of them, like, you don't feel bad when the dentist get killed by the lion. He was hunting for, a safari and stuff. It's like, that's kind of what you get. So I got that kind of vibe and that energy where I didn't get that in the other Predator movies. And it's very much true across the board because they do cheat. They have more better technology and they use it whenever they can possibly get away with using it and stuff. And I was like, okay. So, but it was good. But yeah, Predator, the comic book, their brand new issues out. So for all you comic book heads, if you guys haven't checked out like Marvel Unlimited, that's a great source for people who want to get caught up on comics. You can check them out. I think there's a light version you can get for free. It's an app. You can read almost virtually every comic book that Marvel came out with. And then the subscription stuff will give you a little bit better access to their comic books. You get like a better side scrolling and everything else and stuff. And then you get some of the newer releases before they actually hit the comic book store and stuff. So definitely check out Marvel Unlimited if you can. And Marvel Unlimited, if you're listening, we're always looking for a new sponsor here at the Marvel Tribe. So, hit me or Lewis or Sam up in our DMs. But yeah, so what's your take on Predator? Like you're just,
I'm excited for. I thought it was a show. I didn't realize it was a movie, which makes me even more excited for it because sometimes TV shows they can get lost, and we've seen that with what we have on Disney Plus. But I'm excited for it. The original Predator. When I first saw that, I forgot how old I was. My uncle put it on, and when you see the vision through the Predator, where it's like heat seeking and all that, I was like, "What is this?" Or they're invisible and you can't see them. Mm-hmm. Like that part where like the Predator's up in the tree and he's invisible, and then it just drops the cloak and he's just like there. I remember seeing that, like, oh my gosh! And I've enjoyed Predator. I was not a big fan when they made the morph to Alien versus Predator. It was good when I was younger, but watching now, it doesn't hold a test of time.
Agreed.
So I'm excited for it, and I hope this rebrands it. Not rebrands it, but revitalizes it, and we get some more. And don't be afraid to take some time in between movies. Yes. If this one does good, we don't need another one immediately. Nope. But also, too, if you do one or two, that's plenty. We don't need a lot. Because one thing that's driving me nuts, so we got at Comic-Con, we do not need a John Wick 4. So if Prey does good, cool. If it does super good, make a sequel. Pump it out 2 or 3 years. We can wait.
Yes.
Do not try to like rush it since it's on Hulu. Give it a smaller budget and shoot them. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that because then you're disgracing the first one.
Oh, amen, bro. Absolutely. Do not rush it. Let it marinate in people's souls for a while and stuff. Give them time to miss it. And then, if it's that successful, then hit us up with another. Take your time with that and get it right and stuff. But it's like, like I said, don't pull the Freddy Krueger Jason thing. For those who don't know, where it's just chasing the bag. They're chasing money, and they're coming out with boom, 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 boom. I think the most relevant thing I can say to that that's out there right now is you have, like, the Halloween series, and you have the Fast and the Furious series and stuff. No hate on both of those. Chase those bags. Fast and Furious has an audience that they're almost just daring them to quit. They're like, what if we do dinosaurs? They'll stop. No, they're not. They're still going to give you their money. So they're daring you guys now to leave them. You're addicted to Fast. But Halloween, it's like, all right, it's over. It's what it is and stuff.
So. You can do 10 films, but make sure there's story. If you don't have story and the heart in there, you're going to lose everybody. Yep. Fast and the Furious, I think the one reason why it does have a huge fan base is because each movie, even though it's lessening each one, you still have that family aspect. And I know that sounds so cliche to say because Vin Diesel.
It's about family.
Yeah. But like Halloween, I mean, geez, has nobody learned to outrun this guy? Like, how does he just catch up? Stop it.
Yeah.
Get him on a scooter or something. Get with the times.
And to be honest, if you saw the last one, and I'm a huge Halloween fan. I'm a huge horror movie fan. That's my genre and stuff. But the last one, there's a small at the very end segment that where he's like surrounded by. I'm gonna ruin it. It's been out for a year. You should have saw it. The next one is coming out this October. But he's surrounded by these town folks and the people he's been tormenting for all these years and stuff. And he's like outnumbered. Like, dude, he should be done. Like, he's been going toe to toe, one on one with a lot of people and besting them. When you got a mob of angry, like bloodlusted people, that's your number. You're done, right? No, all of a sudden he turns into borrow a phrase, John Wick, and just rips them the strip. I'm like, that's not Michael Myers, and it was cool to watch. I'm like, okay, that's interesting, but that is not him. That's not brand for Michael Myers and stuff. So
it's like, because doesn't he only kills like there's specific people. Like he's not doing it for a frenzy. Like,
no.
It's only like getting his way to who he's after or who he's after. He doesn't just kill for fun, even though it seems like that nowadays.
He's tracking down a particular individual, and if you're in his way or you kind of cross his path, you're done. That's just kind of how his lore works. And, you know, and he takes his time. He stalks people, everything else. But that scene right there ruined the experience for me, because I'm like, okay, are we getting a Jason Bourne, John Wick now version of Mike Myers? Like, he really went to toe with all this entire mob. I'm like, it would have been a better ending if the mob just finished them off there and burnt them or did whatever, took their head off. I would have forgiven any horrendous act that this mob would have did to Jason, to Mike Myers, because he deserved it. But end with that. Don't end with like, oh, okay, I'm about to activate this new level you've never seen of me before. But we're getting off topic. My bad and stuff. So you ready to move on? Because we can do the game part. So that's, you know, this is the game segment. And so Lou is going to do some of this on the fly. But I wrote a list. So I'm going to pull up my list. So we are actually so how the game goes, just to kind of remind you guys. You're going to go with your top five or a little bit more non-Marvel movies. So these are regular movies, Encino Man, you know, 16 Candles, whatever movie it is. It's not a Marvel movie that would be way better with an actual Marvel character, not the actor, the character, in either replacing someone in that movie or being an addition to that movie. So with that said, You want to roll one out and stuff, and I'll go back and forth. Yeah, we'll go one for one.
All right, off the top of my head, I'm thinking Doctor Strange and The Matrix.
Oh, I didn't even think. Oh, okay, I like that one. So is he an addition, or he replacing Neo, or is he Morpheus?
He's the the Oracle.
Okay, I like it. Yes, I'm a That gives the Oracle a little bit more cred and stuff and importance in the Matrix movie. No disrespect to the person who played the Oracle, but it really was, if you remove the Oracle, the story could have still progressed. But with a Doctor Strange as the Oracle, it kind of makes, like, you got Morpheus as your personal trainer, and then you got the Oracle, who is like a level up, who's introducing you to the whole Matrix and how to battle the ooh, I like that.
The multiverse of the Matrix.
Heck yes. All the Neo meets all the other iterations of Neo and stuff like that. And all right, so mine is E.T. So I thought about this and stuff. It would be E.T. with Groot. And it'd be similarly the same freaking story and stuff. Elliot finds Groot in his little shed and stuff, and all he says is, "I am Groot." That's all he could, you know. He's like Groot, and Elliot figures out and learns throughout the movie Groot's language and stuff. So everyone else is still confused. The mom's confused. The little sister, she's going around saying, "I am Groot." They touch fingers or his little tree thing and stuff, and the leaf and the leaf glows, and it's like, "I am Groot." And so I really think it would be a good replacement for the ET, because he's an alien. He somehow got here. Maybe the Guardians landed, because Star-Lord wanted to, you know, pay respect to his mom, graveside and stuff like that. Groot, a teenage Groot, gets left behind. Guardians don't, you know, they forget about him, and then at the end they come back for him and stuff. So, yeah, I think E.T. with Groot would be mine.
All right, off the top, I'm thinking. Ooh, it's Ant-Man and the Italian Job.
Scott Lang. Ooh. Yeah, Master Thief. Heck yeah. So is he an addition or is he replacing a character in it?
Ooh, who do you replace, though? That's a great lineup.
I know. You got Charlie Stern. You got Mark Wahlberg. You got who played the Hulk? What's his
Mark
name?
Mark Ruffalo? No, Edward Norton. No.
Edward Norton. Dude, that was a good.
He would be a replacement that Mark Wahlberg met in prison. Not a replacement. He'd be like another addition that they met in prison.
Okay. I like it. Heck yeah. Ant-Man, Scott Lang, and the Italian. Okay. I like that one. That was pretty cool. All right. So here's my number two pick. Roadhouse with Thor. So here's why the very famous old school Patrick Swayze Roadhouse, and it would take place like Thor, you know, how Thor is Mr. Party Boy or goes his own way, gets in trouble, and this is old school Thor, gets in trouble with Daryl Dad Odin. Odin doesn't curse him and put a curse on Mjolnir, his hammer or anything. He just sends him, he banishes him to Earth to get a job, to meet with the common folks and just to kind of have some respect and some humility for the privileges and the luckiness that he has. So that's why Dad sends him down there. He's still super strong. He's still 1,000+ years old. He's all that. So, but he has to get a roommate. He has to get an apartment. He has to live like the common folks. And he has to be humble. He has to humble himself. So he gets a job as a bouncer. Maybe he's at the Roadhouse, the famous Roadhouse. He's throwing back some beers, blah, blah, blah. And then there's some guy who slaps some girl's butt and Thor doesn't like it. And he ends up, mopping the floor with him. He gets his job. Boom. And I also like, I don't know if you saw this, but they did this little mini series of Thor with a roommate and stuff like that. I would carry that on too and stuff. So yeah, Roadhouse with Thor, I think would be epic. That's my take on that.
So I got one, but I'm curious. Did you pick these out and then like that's the game? Or did you pick the game and then plan these out? Because that sounds like this inspired the whole game.
No, I picked the game and then this is what I went to.
I like that Roadhouse Thor one. Like, yep. If anybody's listening, like, use that. Let's go.
Heck yes.
So mine, just listening and really trying to. So I'm going to build this one out.
All right.
Breakfast Club. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
But the students in trouble, you got Shuri, Peter Parker, Ned, Kamala, and Bruno. But I'm going to add Bender. Bender's character is going to be played by Loki, who just keeps repeating school and can't age out. And the principal is Nick Fury.
Love it. Oh, my God. Oh, hell yes.
Where Loki can't leave anyway because he's just in a loop. Yeah. And so each detention, he's stuck with a new fresh of classmen.
A new crop of people. Heck yes. Dude, I love that. I think that, yep, I would definitely go see that. That's definitely a go-to-the-theater enjoyment roller coaster ride and stuff, especially with Nick Fury as the detention principal guy and stuff. That, yeah, love but
instead
it.
Instead of them getting high, they're in the library messing around with PIM particles.
Yes. Heck yeah. And they unleash something in the school or something that they have to track down before Nick Fury finds them and then expels them all or something like that.
Yes.
Heck yeah. Dude, we should be movie writers and stuff.
We should.
All right. So here's my next one and stuff. I have Trading Places, the famous Eddie Murphy Dan Aykroyd film. It's Tony Stark and Rhodey. And same thing. Ooh. Tony Stark is that rich, privileged, little whiny, millionaire at the time. He's young enough and stuff. And Rhodey is just, he's that ex-military guy who's hustling and scamming people like Eddie Murphy and stuff. And then, same scenario. They get swapped out and stuff. And, someone thinks it'd be fun to ruin Tony Stark. And someone thinks it'd be fun to take Rhodey off of the street and make him the new Tony Stark, and they just go through that. So Jamie Lee Curtis will still play her part. Everything else will be the same, but those characters would be the absolute that those are the replacement characters and stuff for that film. So,
oh my gosh, that's a good one. Let's see, what else do I have? I mean, I don't have any written down. Let's see. Oh, Moon Knight, Daredevil, okay. Punisher, Blade, Four Brothers.
Oh, okay. I actually like that. Okay,
but like a teenager version, where like almost like Moon Knight has all his different personalities. But with the mature level of Steven. Not fully Mark. We'll get Mark and Jake in there. But almost like, you know what? Scratch the other three. Moon Knight, Four Brothers, battling his brothers that is just him.
Oh, okay. Okay, I would, yes, absolutely would go. Oh, damn.
He's messing with that DID, talking to his brothers about who killed his mom.
Yep.
And which makes sense because his mom, we just learned, is the reason why he has those different personalities. And now he's trying to figure it out, and he's battling them, trying to figure it out.
I love it. Heck yeah, dude. That's season two right there. Just do a retro version of Moon Knight and stuff. And dude, hell yeah. Okay, I like that one. That was good. All right, so here's my – this is my zinger one here. I have Beverly Hills Cop with Deadpool. Deadpool.
Say no more. That's beautiful. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Is Axel Foley in the very much sarcastic break the fourth wall way, and he comes to Beverly Hills and he is doing some of the same shenanigans, but with the Deadpool spin, trying to be the good cop. He has a boss that is on his butt. He's from Detroit and stuff. But yeah, this is Deadpool, and he gets his results. You know, he's trying to solve, you know, it's just the same thing there. I don't even think we need to change the premise of Beverly Hills Cop. Someone killed Deadpool's friend. It could be the dude from the bar in the apartment back in Detroit. And it leads him to Beverly Hills, where he pretends to be a cop there, but he gets in the mischiefs and gets arrested all the time. And he has Taggart and Hobbs or whatever the other two Beverly Hills cops that has to follow him. The banana and the tailpipe joke, all of it works.
Oh, I love that one.
I think Deadpool as a Beverly Hills cop would be kick-ass.
All right, so I got to top that. Ooh, I should have wrote stuff down. Oh,
okay.
Rocket and Groot.
Okay.
Lion King, replace Timon and Pumbaa.
Okay. I can see that. They would definitely get Simba killed.
They're fighting Scar and the ship's just right there. Yeah. Mike, say something. We dare you.
Oh, absolutely. They would dispatch Scar. And I think Rocket might have a soft spot for the hyenas and stuff because, you know, they're fur buddies. But he definitely would enslave them, put a collar on them and stuff like that. So I like it.
I'm just picturing Rocket telling Simba, you see that bird? I needed that bird. Pouncing Zazu, like, why'd you kill him? Like, I didn't really need him. I was just seeing if he'd do it.
Oh, yeah. And then Groot having a crush on Nala, Simba's girl and stuff. And so he's in competition with the future queen of the pride and stuff. So that would be hilarious. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so I have three more that I've written out. So I'm gonna say two of them, and then I'll save the last one for last. But I have on your Scott Lang one, Ant-Man. I have Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He plays the dad, and it has the technology and stuff like that. Ant-Man, he the kids are messing around with his little Pym. Shrink ray and stuff and shrinks themselves and gets tossed in the backyard. And so he has to, you know, create a suit and shrink himself to find his children. So it's a little different. You know, he goes small and he befriends ants and there. I mean, I think it would be a kind of fun adventure kind of, and it focused more on him small with the kids small, and they're trying to find each other in this gigantic backyard with more obstacles and more danger. So that's my thing with Ant-Man right there, Scott Lang.
All right. I got Korg and Thor, Wayne's World.
running their own TV in the basement series and stuff. So
be like yelling at video gamers and all that.
Absolutely. They take callers. It's like a live podcast or you know, to update it and stuff. And Thor finds himself talking shit to underage people every once in a while and stuff. Yep. Yeah. Ooh, I like it. Absolutely.
Taika Waititi singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes. They're in the car, smoke filled with, you know, who knows what. I'm just saying. And they're rocking out to Bohemian. Yes, absolutely.
They're I'm there for Guardian lettuce.
I'm there for that. All right. So I know we said five, but I'll knock out my other two here. So I have Saw with Loki.
Oh.
So Loki is, you know, and I'm talking like the Loki, I'm trying to take over the world kind of thing. But now I just want to punish people because I can. And I'm going to create these elaborate traps that no one's going to get out of and stuff. And so he's the new Jigsaw. In fact, he traps Jigsaw himself and takes over. And it's just, you know, Saw is his thing. And he takes these humans and he has fun with them, like the little spinster devil god that he is. So, yeah.
All right. Let's see. Ooh. Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
Alice in Wonderland animated movie.
Ooh. Addition or replacement?
Replacing Alice.
Replacing Alice. Okay.
Almost like WandaVision, where she's built this reality. Yeah. But instead of the town she builds this
whole world kind of.
Yeah, Wanda in Wonderland.
That would be dope. Okay. I like that. It has some like touches of Wizard of Oz and Alice and everything, and it's very. Get the Cheshire Cat and all that stuff because it's all in Wanda's. I like that. It's in Wanda's reality and stuff. That's on the nose. That's right. I like that. I would absolutely go see that. All right. My last one, it's Harry and the Hendersons. Love that film. Shot here in Oregon for all you fans who don't know. With Drax. So instead of Harry... You know, John Lithgow and takes his family on a camping trip and hits the big Sasquatch. He hits Drax, who's just wandering in the streets. He sees this foreign thing, which is a car. It's an old school 1980s a station wagon. And he does this infamous, if I stand still, they won't see me. And he gets thrashed by the family. The family looks at him like, this... thing like is it dead? And you know, dad's gonna pull out the rifle to shoot. I mean, just full on almost take for take from Harry and the Hendersons. And Drax, you know, he gets taken to the home and he becomes the family pet, basically. Like he treats Mantis as an ugly pet and stuff. So yeah, Harry and the Hendersons with Drax, I think that would be hilarious.
All right. My last one, Guardians of the Galaxy, Star-Lord, Rocket, Groot, Gamora, and Drax.
Okay.
The Goonies. But with all of their, like, but in, all, not a recast.
Okay.
But almost like they are journeying to find One-Eye Willy after the Goonies have passed through. Like, really trying to, actually... Just commentating, like if we can get Guardians watching that, but like their view of it, almost like with Rocky, like why didn't they just climb across or Drax, like why didn't we just go to the beach? Like nice. All their dry humor, like this doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
nice. I love it. Heck yeah, and just like how Star-Lord believes like a lot of the stuff that isn't really true for everyone else and stuff. You like, you know, he said Footloose is the greatest movie ever, and you know, Spider-Man's like, wait, what? He believes the legend of One-Eye Willy is a real thing, and yeah. He's like, and they're, oh my god, I know the whole setup. They're in space, and they're looking for jobs. You know, they're like, all right, you know, we haven't caught anyone, we haven't had to save anyone, we haven't had to bounty anyone. And then Star-Lord is like, you know, he noticed everyone's getting kind of bored and stuff like that. It's like, oh, I have an idea. There was back on Earth, on my homeland and stuff, there was a legend of the One-Eyed Willy. there's this gold, there's this treasure that was worth its weight in gold. And there's this group of explorers who try to find it, but I think they couldn't find it. And anyone who tried, they couldn't find it. So let's go. And then Rocket's like, wait, what? The One-Eyed Willie? Yeah, I'm sure I've heard of that on Earth. Yeah, let's go do it. And then they're beeline it to Earth. They go to Astoria, Oregon, and stuff. And they follow the whole thing and stuff. There's a new version of the Fatellis or whatever and stuff that they're kind of cooling out with and stuff that murdered some people in the cabin. And they're like, wait, what the hell is going on? Like all that stuff. Like all.
Yeah.
And they comment on how stupid some of this stuff is and stuff.
Like they're thinking about it very logically. Why don't we just blow this restaurant up and go through? Like, oh, wow. Sitting absolutely. There. Yeah, that'd be great. Actually, you could have a Gamora in there and either Nebula or Mantis playing the two girl characters. And for the Fatalis, I would almost have bring back Guardians. Oh my gosh, he was in Talladega Nights. I forget the actor's name.
Not Will Ferrell?
Not Will Ferrell. Shake and Bake Buddy.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about. John C. Reilly.
Yep.
Bring him. Riley. He's one of the Fratellis. The one that said they got my message when Rocket says he's like, I just want you to know I voted against this. Have those two as the Fratelli brothers.
Nice. Heck yeah. Yep. Oh. And check this out. I'm gonna set up this quick scene and stuff on. Oh my god, I'm already seeing this movie play out. So they somehow got underground and they're walking underneath the streets of Astoria in these tunnels and stuff. And remember the water scene with the pipes going up and down stuff. So they're walking past. They know they acknowledge the pipes. It's old to the old original Goonies, but they just keep walking. But Groot gets curious because he sees a leak. So he's like, I'm going to plug up this leak. So he wraps his little vine around it. And then another leak spring. And then he wraps his vine around that. And then another one. So he's like whipping up all these vines. And next thing you know, like the pressure starts to go and he's like shaking things and he's getting mad. And so it does the same thing. Like everyone up at the top, the water fountains and stuff are going up and down and off and stuff. And then you hear someone gets hurt bad in an accident and Groot lets go and catches up with everyone else and just like nothing happened. He's like,
yeah.
He just drops up and with everyone else.
The slide part. So the slide when they go down into the cave,
yeah.
You've got Drax who's having now the time of his life, like the scene where he's like, do me on Guardians 2. Yes. He's having the time of his life, falls in the water. He's like, let's do it again.
Yes. In fact, oh my god! In fact, the part where they're playing the bones to get the cave open and stuff. Tell me you don't picture Drax like when the bottom starts to drop out and stuff, and there's like this fog of doom. Drax looks down there. It's like, you did it. You opened the cave. Like he's like, no, that's a pit. It's like, no, I'm pretty sure that's a cave. And then without a second of Star-Lord is like he like to tell him like you're an idiot. Drax just jumps into it. And he'll see him, and he's like, yeah, this is not the exit. Just letting you guys know. It's like, oh my God, I want to make this movie. This will be hilarious. So,
I got an idea. I'm going to throw out to you.
All right.
Goonies of the Galaxy. What if I'll create a little design for it? We could throw that shirt up, and in honor of this episode right here,
absolutely.
We throw that design up on a Redbubble. And it's an exclusive tea.
Yep, that works. You hear that, listeners? So we'll work on that and stuff. In fact, we're going to title this episode Goonies of the Galaxy. That's and you have to watch this episode before it makes sense. So that's all I got. I actually love this game. I love spitballing with you and stuff. Like, I think this is awesome. I wish the girls was with us because they'll have fun with this too. But we'll definitely do this again. We'll do the game, this game thing again and stuff. So with that said, it's, you know, we're over an hour and 13 right now and stuff. You got anything to say in closing, Lewis?
No, except we had a great time.
Absolutely. So with that said, Marvel Tribe, we appreciate you guys. You know, you guys are Marvel fans from the expert to the beginner. We thank you guys. Make sure you rate us on your favorite podcast and give us those stars because that helps us out a lot and stuff. And until then, we'll see you next time. peace out, Marvel Tribe.